In the 34th chapter of the prophet Ezekiel, God speaks through the prophet, and he says that he is so fed up with the leaders of his people, the leaders of Israel, that he's going to put all of them aside, and that he himself would come to shepherd and lead his people. God says through the prophet Ezekiel, I myself will pasture my sheep. The lost I will search out, the stray I will bring back, the injured I will bind up, the sick I will heal. God spoke those words through the prophet Isaiah about the year 600 BC or so. So you think for 600 years, that prophecy kind of stood out there, waiting for God to answer it, to fulfill his promise that he would shepherd his people. And then, of course, Jesus, in his preaching that we hear in St. John's Gospel, he gets up and he says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. God himself come to shepherd his people. A shepherd, as we know, is concerned about the life of his sheep. The sheep provides the livelihood for the shepherd and his family. Even if he's just the steward of that flock, it belongs to someone else, he still has a vested interest in the lives of those sheep. Today, on this fourth Sunday of Easter, which is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday, we remember that Jesus has a vested interest in our lives as members of his flock. The Good Shepherd has come to shepherd each and every one of us. St. Peter, in the second reading today from his first letter, said that Jesus bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin we might live for righteousness. Jesus' vested interest in our lives as members of his flock is that he gave his life for us on the cross. For all eternity, Jesus willed to offer his life as a good shepherd for you. For you are that valuable to God. You take the value of one sheep in a shepherd's flock and multiply it infinitely. And that is how valuable you are to God. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Jesus tells us in today's gospel passage that as the good shepherd, he has come to lay down his life so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. What is the abundant life that the good shepherd wants to lead us to? That's the question of our gospel today for this Good Shepherd Sunday. What is the abundant life that Jesus wants to lead us to? And first off, I'd like to say a word about what it's not. The abundant life that Jesus promises is not a free pass. It's not a free pass from challenges or sufferings or hardships or any of those sort of things. I would challenge you to go through the scriptures and find a place where when God calls, he promises that you'd be without a challenge, that you would be without trouble. I challenge you to do that because it doesn't exist. When God calls, he doesn't always promise that he never promises that it's going to be easy. God called Abraham. Abraham was 70 plus years old. He said, take your whole family, take your brother's family too, your whole household, and travel 700 miles on foot. Okay, God. God called Moses. He said, take your brother Aaron, go in front of the powerful Pharaoh and tell him you're going to take his entire labor force out into the desert. Okay, God, that'll be easy. God never promises that our lives will be free from challenges. So then what is this abundant life? What is the abundant life of Jesus? Well, first of all, it's a grace. It's a free gift. It's bestowed on us at our baptisms. That's the first moment that it's bestowed upon us. In the first reading today, we heard St. Peter in his preaching. He's telling the people about Jesus, and they say, well, now that we've heard this, what do we do? He says, repent and believe and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What we receive in our baptisms is divine life. It's the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity that are alive in our souls. We receive them first at baptism, but then that divine life is strengthened through all of the sacraments that we receive. It's even restored to us in confession when we've sinned seriously. The divine life is a grace. It's a gift God freely gives. We'll never do anything to be worthy of it, but he gives it freely anyway. Secondly, this abundant life of Jesus is living in the power of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is truly powerful and wants to do great things in and through us. St. Peter is an example of this. Think about the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles. We're told that St. Peter gets up in the temple and gives this great sermon. The temple was the center of their world. It was the marketplace. It was like our Times Square. Everyone came there from all over the place. And here Peter gets up and preaches this great sermon. Well, who is this Peter? On Holy Thursday night, he had denied the Lord. He ran away, afraid. It's not the same Peter who ran out to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning and saw the empty tomb and didn't know what to do. It's not even the same Peter who, after he had seen the risen Jesus, didn't know what to do and said, I'm going to go fishing. He went back to what he knew, what he was used to. What happened to Peter is that he was transformed on Pentecost by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's driven out to proclaim the name of Jesus. That same power is given to us at our baptism. And then it's confirmed, it's poured out again in the sacrament of confirmation. This past Monday, we had the interviews for our high schoolers who will be confirmed this coming Saturday morning. And it's always fun to go and have these confirmation interviews with high school students. I always feel bad for the ones who get me. Because when they find out that I'm going to be doing their interview, their faces drop. And I feel sorry for them, because when I was in high school, if you had told me that I had to sit down in front of the priest and be interviewed about my faith, I'd probably crawl up and die right there. But I give them a lot of credit. They persevered. They did a great job. But I always ask them, I say, can you name for me the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? And they get that deer in the headlights look, right? If I were to ask us, can you name the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Would you get the deer in the headlights look? Their wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. I even had to write them down to make sure I wouldn't forget any. Right? Because I'm just as guilty of this. I don't always live by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think it's my effort, my contributions, my initiative instead of learning to rely back on those gifts that I was given in my baptism and in my confirmation. And I think that's probably true for many, many Catholics. We just don't rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And the third part of this abundant life that Jesus promises to us is that this abundant life is leading us somewhere. The abundant life Jesus gives to us right now is welling up to eternal life. St. John in his letter said, "We are God's children now, but what we shall later be has not yet been revealed." God has more in store for us. It's the job of the shepherd ultimately to bring his flock to its pasture. We heard about that in the psalm today. God is leading us to verdant pastures, restful waters. He's leading us to heaven. The goal of the shepherd is to lead us to our eternal home. Jesus fulfills the prophecy of Ezekiel perfectly and shepherds us perfectly. "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come." That is the direction of our lives, the trajectory of our lives. The abundant life that Jesus has in store for us right now will find its perfection in heaven. So, my friends, we all have been given the abundant life of Jesus in baptism, and we pray that it will come to perfection in heaven. I would encourage you that if you have not been living according to that abundant life, to hear the message of St. Peter today, to repent, to make a resolution to try to live by the power of the Holy Spirit and not our own power, and to see our lives on a trajectory towards heaven. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I'd also like to ask you to pray always for the shepherds of your church, your priests, your deacons, your bishops, to pray for those of us who have a share in the ministry of the Good Shepherd, because ultimately any ministry that we have is an exercise of the ministry of the Good Shepherd. If you have been doing this, if you have a practice of praying for your priests, deacons, and bishops, thank you. If you don't have that practice, please start. We all need those prayers as ministers of the church. And let us pray then that the shepherds and the sheep may be brought together in the eternal pasture of heaven.